In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Our good shepherd goes after the one sheep that's lost. Yes, he goes after that one sheep. Maybe that's you. And the good shepherd's name is Jesus, and he wants you, and he wants to touch you. He wants to change you. He wants to love you. The good shepherd. And no one can snatch you out of his hands once you belong to him. And no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands once you belong to the Father through Christ our Lord. The good shepherd's name is Jesus. He came to take our sins. He gave up his life and he took it up again in the resurrection. No one took his life from him. He did what the Father had asked him to do, and that was to give up his life on the cross. But he took it up again in the power of the resurrection. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. And he has plans for you, but you need to decide, I want to follow Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. I have nothing else but Jesus. We're looking at the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. They wanted to make sure that the gospel that they preached took root and that they were growing in their grace and in faith. They wanted to make sure, let us go and see the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. We remember Judaizers came in to Galatia, and they wanted to circumcise the men to become real Christians. And Paul says, absolutely not. We were saved by grace, by hearing, and by believing. Barnabas determined to take with him John Mark. But Paul thought it wasn't good to take John Mark with them, for John Mark departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work in Pamphylia. And there was contention, and it was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. You see, even the apostles weren't perfect. Even Paul wasn't perfect. He didn't forgive John Mark. We see that in Timothy, maybe he did forgive John Mark. John Mark said, I'm not going to Pamphylia with you. And Paul, you know, Paul was straight as an arrow. What we're doing for the Lord, we're doing, it's either 100% or it's nothing. That's Paul. So Barnabas took John Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. In other words, making sure that they were on the right road, making sure that they were continuing to follow Jesus, making sure that they were growing in their faith. They only had the Old Testament, you know. They did not have the New Testament. So Paul wanted to make sure that they were accurate in their beliefs. Chapter 16, then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess. Yes, his mother was a Jewish and believed, but the father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. Now, something's going to happen that Paul spoke against. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. That's Timothy. And took and circumcised him because of the Jews. Now this is interesting, because Paul told us that circumcision wasn't necessary. He did it for the Jewish sake, because his mother was a Jewess, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek, And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained by the apostles and elders, which were in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Why? Because they were filled with love, because they were filled with the power of the Spirit, because they were doing signs and wonders and miracles. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now the Holy Spirit told them, don't go to Asia. Why did he say that? I have no idea. That's God's word to Paul and Silas. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to go to Bithynia. That's interesting. And they passed through Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul at night. Listen to this vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. St. Patrick had the same kind of a vision. Come over to Ireland and preach the gospel. He had the same kind of a vision that Paul had to go to Macedonia. And the big city in Macedonia was Philippi. And there is a letter to the Philippians, the joyful letter to the Philippians. After he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. See, where are the signs, the wonders, and the visions today? Do we just rely upon ourselves? Or are we open to God, that God would give us visions, where to go and where not to go, what to say and what not to say, that the Lord would give us words, rather than just, you know, we're going to have a program. And the program is good, but it never lasts. Programs don't last. They come, they do what they're supposed to do, and they die. And if a person is in charge of the program, after the person leaves, they die. That's real. That's real. I've seen it with myself, that, you know, I was in puberty, we had a prayer group, I left, and the prayer group died. But other things are happening in puberty today. I'm just saying that unless there is teaching and continued teaching, people are going to fall away unless there are miracles and signs. You see, I told you about the priest that was the founder of an order yesterday, that he prayed with the woman who had cancer, and he was like a little kid that God healed this woman. This is the way it should be. Signs and wonders and visions. Paul had a vision to go to Macedonia, and he went there to preach the gospel unto the Macedonians. Therefore, loosing them from Troas, we came straight across Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the great city that is part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in the city abiding for certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, down by the riverside, where prayer was being made, and we sat down and spoke unto women and resorted there. They start to preach the gospel to these women by the riverside. It was a place of prayer. It was quiet. It was wonderful. It's always good to pray by the ocean or by rivers. It's beautiful. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple goods from the city of Thyatira, she worshipped God and heard us. Her heart was open to the Lord, and she attended unto the things which Paul had spoken, that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus died on the cross, that he shed his blood, that he was buried and rose from the dead. So she had her heart open to the word of Paul, the word of God. And when she was baptized, and her whole household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I love it, because Paul is constrained by a woman. no one else is going to constrain him. In other words, you know, if you believe that the Lord has come into our lives, come to my house. We want to hear more. We want to know more. And she constrained them. If you really believe it, you know, a little manipulation, but Paul fell into the manipulation. He didn't usually do it, but this time he did. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was a fortune teller, and she was gaining her masters a lot of money. By doing what? By doing fortune telling. You know, she was Madame Fufu. The same followed Paul and us, and she cried out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way to salvation." You would think that Paul would be happy that she's saying that these men have the way to salvation. But she did this many days, and Paul was grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that same hour. You see, the gospel must be preached by the children of God and not by the demonic. Never by the demonic. We see that in the Gospels, when the Gospels tell us that the devil knew who Jesus was, and Jesus commanded the devil to come out of the man who was called Legion. This is very important, that the gospel must be preached not by evil spirits, but by the children of God, by the children of God. And let's see what happens as they go to Philippi. "And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone," because she wasn't a fortune teller anymore, the devil was out of her, "they caught Paul and Barnabas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, Jews, do exceedingly trouble to our city.'" Yeah, they just cast out the demon from the woman who was the fortune teller. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." They were Romans. "And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates went off their clothes, rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them," they beat them, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So we see Paul and Silas, because of their love for Jesus and casting out that demon, end up in jail. Now, you would think that they would be weeping and gnashing their teeth, but it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Oh, they saw themselves worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the name. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake," just like Peter, "so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands and bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Don't harm yourself, for we're all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" The Spirit of God was working in the jailer. Spirit of God. We go from suicide to the Spirit of God. You see the fight between light and darkness? Spirit of God, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household." And your household. Now, did the household have children? I'm sure they did. And what happened to these children? They were baptized. Oh, yes. Baptism for children is in the early church. You can go to the places where they buried the saints, and you could see children that were baptized at 1 week old and died, and they were baptized. It tells us that. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all of his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his household. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, believing in God, and he and his whole household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned." Let's remember now, Paul is very important as a person. He is a Roman citizen. They had no right to beat a Roman citizen. Paul says, "I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to bring my cause to Caesar." Why? Because he was a Roman citizen. They had no right to beat a Roman citizen. But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out? No, no, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Roman citizens. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. Lydia, the one that asked Paul, "If you believe that the Lord has come into our lives, then come to our house and tell us more." And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So you see that Paul and Silas are going to the communities that were evangelized to make sure that people are still following the way, still following Jesus. I'm going to tell you, once somebody follows Jesus, it doesn't mean that they're going to end up following Jesus. I know people that follow Jesus, and now they're into evangelism. Yes, these people were wonderful converts, but somehow they went to a church that wasn't a Christian church, was a spiritualist church, and they're into angels now, not into Jesus. We need regular teaching and regular love, and we need to know the gifts of the Spirit to help us so that we could continue in the ways of the Lord. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. Again, Paul says salvation is to the Jew first, then to the pagan. And Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue with 3 Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the Scripture. So 3 Saturdays he was there, reasoning them out of the Old Testament. And what was he reasoning them of? That Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ gave his life for God and for the men and women of the world, that he bled, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. And they teach this out of Scripture, I'm sure, from the chapter 52 and 53 of Isaiah, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and been raised from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Messiah. So he's telling the Jews that this Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. This Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude and of chief women followed. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring out to the people, And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. Oh, let me just tell you that there was politics involved. If Caesar hears that Jesus is king, he's going to close the temple. You see, and they troubled the people with the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Paul and Silas were placed in prison and beaten with rods. And Paul was a Roman citizen and said, No one is going to beat me with a rod. I am a Roman citizen. He will tell us later that he didn't buy his citizenship, that he was born into the citizenship. And that Paul said, Because you beat us, we want to take our case all the way to Caesar. What do you think he wanted to do to Caesar? Preach the gospel. He could have been released when he went to Rome, but he wanted to preach the gospel. And we see that in some of the letters, some people in Caesar's household came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He never really got to Caesar, but he went to Rome to preach the gospel. This is very interesting because this is a man that is filled with the zeal of God. How many people are filled with the zeal of God that they must preach the gospel, not that they want to, but they must, that there is a force within them that causes them to speak the word of God in season and out of season when convenient and inconvenient. How many preachers are like that today that experience that they have to preach the word of God, not for any other reason, but it's a compulsion. It is the Holy Spirit that does this in them, that they have to preach the word of God. Paul was that kind of person, and he told Timothy to preach the gospel, whether it be in season or out of season, because Timothy was into discouragement. But Paul said, no, preach the gospel in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. In other words, he wants that spirit that caused him to have this compulsion to preach the gospel to come upon his protege, Timothy. This is real. This is real stuff. We're not talking about just speaking words. We're talking about speaking the word, speaking Jesus, telling people of Jesus, going to the synagogues and telling people of Jesus. Some people believe, but then the Jews that didn't believe got them thrown out. This is the persecution that was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. He never promised arthritis. He never promised cancer. He promised persecution. And remember when Paul and Silas were in jail, remember what they did. They weren't crying, but they were praising God. Hallelujah! Glory and praise to you, O God! We worship you, we glorify you. And the prisoners heard it. And then there was an earthquake and all their bonds were open. I'm telling you, this is God's work. This is God's work, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to be doing the same things that he did in the lives of the apostles, but we need to be able to say, Yes, Lord, I want that compulsion. I want to preach the word with all my heart. I want people to come to know Jesus. We need to be like that. Without that, you know, we just have wishy-washy preachers that preach on a Sunday, but really aren't led with the fire of God to proclaim the truth of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, And she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, raise up men and women that preach with the zeal of the apostles, that preach in season and out of season, that are not afraid to proclaim Jesus to the multitudes and to the individuals. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.